So I think we should get started with the next talk, which is going to be a review of experiments on a very exciting new experimental platform, Magic Angle Grapheme. And we are fortunate to have one of the pioneers in this field, Pablo Jaramillo Herrero from MIT, who will give us an overview of this experimental platform. The title of his talk is Competing Orders, Nematicity, and Phase Transitions in Magic Angle Grapheme. And before we begin, let me remind you, please use the Q&A to submit your questions, and we'll have a short Q&A at the end of the talk as well, time permitting. Okay, Pablo, it's all yours now.
Okay, thank you very much, Ashwin, and also Mike for the invitation to speak at this Ultra Quantum Matter conference. I want to tell you a little bit about our recent experiments in Magic Angle Grapheme, which probably some of you have heard about it, but I'll go a little bit through some of the introduction. So I think it's fair to say that this Magic Angle Grapheme, and more globally, the related systems, which are usually grouped under this name, correlated Moreira heterostructures, they have meant the merging of several fields of modern condensed matter communities, which did not interact that closely before. So on one hand, you have the obvious 2D van der Waals materials and heterostructures community, which has many members, now in terms of materials like graphene, which was the first one, but then there are hundreds of 2D materials nowadays. Then you have the more strongly correlated materials community, high temperature Cooper superconductors, nictites, ruthenates, etc. And then you have the people that were studying topological condensed matter physics, quantum Hall physics, quantum spin Hall effect, topological insulators in 3D, etc. And all three of these topics and these communities have come together in this new platform, of correlated Moreira heterostructures. So let me tell you, a little bit about our recent experiments in this platform. So just to remind, everyone, what is Magic Angle Grapheme? When you have two graphene sheets and you put them on top of each other at an angle, then in momentum space, you can look at the electronic structure of the system, and you have two Dirac cones, which are closed in momentum space. Okay? They're separated by a distance in momentum space, which is proportional to the angle of rotation between these two sheets. Now, this is what would happen if you did, if the electrons in one graphene sheet didn't know that the electrons in the other graphene sheet exist, but these two sheets are just 3 angstroms apart when you put them on top of each other. So there is actually tunneling between the layers. So when you have this interlayer hybridization, a gap opens here in the electronic structure. Now, this gap that opens here in this situation, you can see in this cartoon, this is for when this hybridization is much less than the energy at which that crossing point occurs. But if we now rotate, we decrease the twist angle between these two graphene sheets towards smaller and smaller angles, these two Dirac points get closer and closer to each other. And at some point you reach a condition where that gap, that hybridization, interlayer hybridization is of order VfK theta, where that's the energy of that crossing point, and you reach a condition which is known as the flat band condition. This is reached at an angle which Bistritz and McDonald coined the magic angle, which happens to be at about 1.1 degrees for graphene on top of graphene. Okay. Now, there were also, earlier calculations and interesting experiments by the group of Evandre, showing that in terms of single particle physics, something interesting happens there. You develop these flat bands. Now, this is sort of a cartoon. Let me show you a video about of an actual calculation of how the electronic structure evolves. So again, here we have the the blue and the red big hexagons here are the brillouin zones of each of the graphene sheets. If you join the vertices of this, you form the superlattice brillouin zone or the Moiré brillouin zone, which is smaller because when you superimpose these two periodic structures, you form a long wavelength Moiré pattern, which means in momentum space, a small Moiré brillouin zone. Okay? And then here I'm showing the energy momentum dispersion, energy versus Kx and Ky for magic angle graphene, twisted bilayer graphene. For an angle of 3 degrees, within the small, energy window that I'm showing here, 3 degrees is a large angle, so you basically have graphene, okay, the 6 Dirac cones that come off the brillouin zone corners. Now, as I run this video, you're going to see that the angle rotates towards smaller and smaller angles, and you're going to see a set of flat bands appear at about 1.1 degrees, okay? So here I run this video, you see that the energy, you know, the bands are starting to get reconstructed. You get this set of bands separated by band gaps from the remote bands, and there is a flat band there condition at about 1.1 degrees, okay? And then it continues evolving in a more complex manner. Let me run this again. You have this set of bands, which now becomes flatter and flatter as the angle becomes smaller, and it goes to about, you know, flat around 1.1 degree, and then it continues evolving, okay? So this set of flat bands, you know, which includes latitude relaxations to be a bit closer to 105 degrees, but, you know, the last digit here keeps evolving with theoretical models. This tells you, these flat bands tells you that the kinetic energy has been quenched, okay, for the electrons. So now there is a dominance of interaction effects. You know, now that the kinetic energy is very much reduced, the interaction effects between the electrons are now prominent and can give rise to interesting physics. So we did experiments on these type of devices, you know, twisted ballet graphene at a 1.1 degree or magic angle. And we saw, we reported a few years ago, you know, in 2018, the observation of correlated insulator states when you have a integer filling of the Moiré unit cell, you know, in particular, most prominent at what is known as half filling. And if you dope a little bit away from these half filling insulating states, from these correlated insulated states, you have superconducting domes, you know, which immediately was reminiscent of, you know, similar data in many other correlated systems. So we have that magic angle graphene is a system where correlations play a strong role, where you have a superconductivity, which is has many, you know, similarities to superconductivity found in correlated systems. And that's what, you know, we had as of a couple of years ago. So now I want to tell you about more recent developments. So let me start with this, you know, phase diagram of graphene, which is also the same for large angle twisted ballet graphene. So if you have a temperature versus, you know, charge density or Fermi energy, for graphene, the only interesting point is the charge neutrality point or the Dirac point. You know, on both sides of it, you have just regular metallic behavior. Charge neutrality is a bit more important, but that's really, it's a relatively featureless phase diagram. Now, let's make now smaller angle twisted ballet graphene, but not yet magic angle, just small angle. And now I have changed the filling, the horizontal axis to filling factor nu, where this filling factor is the number of electrons or holes per Moiré unit cell, okay, that you have in these flat bands. So here from the bottom of this flat band to the top of this flat band, you can put 8 electrons in total. So charge neutrality is zero filling. So we can put 1, 2, 3, 4 electrons per Moiré unit cell. Then we go from charge neutrality here to the band gap here. So at 4 electrons per Moiré unit cell, we have filled completely this band. Therefore, we have a band gap, and therefore you have a band insulator behavior here before you start populating your remote band here. If we empty from charge neutrality, we remove 4 electrons, or we add 4 holes per Moiré unit cell, we go -1, -2, -3, -4, and we reach this band insulator regime here, okay? So small angle twisted ballet graphene has some extra features. It has these band insulators that for the most part they can be understood within a single particle physics. Now, for magic angle graphene, the situation gets richer, okay? You have now this really very flat band here. You still have the large band gap, so you still have band insulators at 4 electrons and 4 holes per Moiré unit cell, but now you also have correlated insulator behaviors at 2 electrons and at 2 holes per Moiré unit cell, and you have superconducting domes, you know, around this. You know, this is sort of a schematic, and this is consistent with what I showed you before. I should mention that, you know, besides magic angle graphene, there are several other platforms, several other Moiré systems, such as ABC trilayer graphene, aligned, you know, on hexagonal boron nitride, which also exhibits this type of physics. Now, what has happened since 2018? So what has happened, you know, is that this phase diagram keeps getting more and more complex, is evolving very fast. It's also extremely sensitive to the precise twist angle. Minute variations of 0.01 degrees, 0.02 degrees can have substantial consequences on the phase diagram. Okay, so we have a system here where we can tune kinetic energies, interactions, and many body ground states, you know, very effectively. So in this phase diagram, we have found out now that in this region around the correlated insulated states, you know, you have a strange metal type of behavior. In addition, what is this more metallic, you know, near charge neutrality? We have nematicity. We have discovered that there's nematicity in the superconducting state of the system. So the spontaneous, you know, breaking of lattice rotational symmetry in the superconducting state. There is also competition between superconductivity and other orders, you know, near the top of the dome here. And you have also regions of strong anisotropy and, you know, nematicity in the normal state of the system. Okay. In addition, there are plenty of other interesting physics related to magnetism and to topology, etc., at, you know, odd integer fillings of your Moret unit cell. And, you know, plenty of papers have recently appeared, and I invite you, you know, I will not speak about these things. So let me tell you, you know, in the rest of the talk, after this sort of brief overview, I want to tell you about the following three things. First, I'll tell you about our observation of competing orders in magic and grouping. Then about the observation of nematicity, the superconducting and the normal state. And then I hope to have a few minutes at the end to tell you about our recent experiments with the group of Shahalilani, where we have measured the compressibility and measured a cascade of phase transitions and Dirac revivals in this system. So let me get started with this. So, you know, competing often also intertwined orders, you know, is a thing that, you know, is has been explored in many correlated materials, particularly in the cuprates. If you look at this phase diagram of temperature versus doping, cuprates here at zero doping, you have a mod insulator, antiferromagnetic mod insulator. If you add charge carriers, in this case holes, you have a superconducting dome, but actually this is not a real, just a single dome. You see that it has like these two domes, you know. There is sort of an inflection, a dip in the expected TC dependence, you know, doping dependence of the critical superconducting temperature, this inflection point. For some cuprates, this goes all the way to almost zero. Superconductivity is suppressed strongly by some order, you know, which in you know, in an LA BACO is actually related to stripes, you know, ordering. So now let me show you our data in magic angle graphene. So this is a sample, which angle of rotation 109 degrees, okay? And this temperature versus charge density, showing in the color scale the resistivity. Here we have a resistance maximum of charge neutrality. And then you can see that we have features at 1, 2, 3 electrons per mole unit cell. For holes, we have most prominent features at 2 holes per mole unit cell, something a little bit present at, you know, 1 electron per mole unit cell also. Now let's make here, underneath here, there is a superconducting zone. Let me get a bit closer there. Okay, let me zoom in that region. You can see that in this region, we have this feature, which is in the insulated state at 2 holes per mole unit cell. Then we have another prominent feature here. And this dark blue is telling you the superconducting state. And you can see that there is this dome, but with a depletion here. Let me zoom in even more, but okay. I wanted to point out this feature that comes from high temperatures that is bent like this. Now, remember, for our, you know, for magic angle graphene, this state, this correlated insulated state at 2 holes per mole unit cell is the equivalent of zero doping in other correlated systems. And we're adding holes in this direction, okay? So as you can see, we have this feature here. This feature creates a depression, seems to be competing with superconductivity, and it creates a depression in the superconducting dome, okay? So this, you know, by the way, you can look at details about everything I'm going to be telling you about today in this archive paper. So this, of course, the first time I saw it, it sort of, it's reminiscent, you know, of this type of behavior in cuprates, okay? The big difference, of course, is that this is a theoretical plot. You know, to build this with data points, people have to grow different crystals and have only a few data points on this axis. Here we do this continuously because we just vary the doping with electrostatic gate in our case. So now, there seems to be this feature which is competing with superconductivity. One thing that you can do is say, okay, why don't we apply a small perpendicular magnetic field so that we suppress superconductivity and we see what does this thing really want to do, Okay, so we can indeed do that. You take this sample, this is data at zero field, then you take data at small perpendicular magnetic field, 0.5 Tesla, superconductivity is gone, and you can see that these features seamlessly connect to a highly insulating state at low temperature. In fact, if you take a trace there where this feature is, you can see that you have this, at zero field, you have this superconducting state. At finite magnetic field, you have an insulated state. Okay? So you have this superconductor to insulated transition at this point, you know, upon application of small magnetic field. All right, so we saw this thing, you know, and the first thing we want to see it again. So here is another sample, 107 degrees. There is also this feature. Here, the correlated insulated state is very weak, okay, and barely present there, only at very low temperatures. And you see you have this feature, which creates, again, a depletion on the superconducting dome. You can now apply a magnetic field, and you see that this feature ends into a highly insulating state, which is next to at about 10% doping from the correlated insulator state, okay? And again, if you take traces there, you see the superconducting trace, which goes into an insulating state, you know. This on top of this nice linear temperature behavior, which is signature of strange metal. I will not have time to speak about it, but I'm happy to answer questions. So in fact, we can do these measurements continuously in a magnetic field. And what you can see is that, you know, this is a map of TC. These are all data. TC versus whole doping in the region next to the correlated insulator state, okay? And correlated insulator state is around here. It's a little bit to the side. And you can see that as we increase magnetic field, TC gets suppressed until it splits this into two domes and TC reaches zero, then only this dome keeps surviving up to higher magnetic fields, okay? And this again is quite similar to data published on cuprates, you know, where you have this depletion of TC, which becomes then depletion and depletion until the superconducting domes get separated into two domes. Now you can see here that the continuous line is, you know, as a guide to the eye, you only have a few discrete points. These are truly all data. Everything you're seeing here is actually data. Now, there seems to be this competition between this high temperature feature, you know, and superconductivity, you know, which reaches a certain, you know, doping level graphene. Let me leave it at that, and then I'll return back to this, okay? Let me leave it for that. Yeah, for now, as that. There is a competition between two orders, superconductivity and a different order. Let me start telling you about nematicity. So nematicity is something that, you know, means the spontaneous breaking of lattice rotational symmetry of some order parameter. Many families of quantum materials show this, nictites, cuprates, heavily doped topological insulators, which are superconductors. It can happen in the normal state, in the superconducting state, or in both, and it has different implications, in particular in terms of topology in each of these cases. You know, this is a plot from, you know, nematicity has been perhaps most in-depth explored in the nictite superconductors. There's a phase diagram, and you can see here a nematicity wedge here in function of temperature and doping. In doped topological insulators, which are superconductors, you have also your transport properties depend, you know, break the lattice rotational symmetry. They go from, you know, this hexagonal symmetry to a twofold, you know, so the system chooses a direction, you know. For example, if you measure TC versus magnetic field angle applied to your crystal, you see these two maxima. These two maxima means an ellipse, okay? If you would plot this in polar angles on a peanut, you know, as shown here. So your system chooses a director, a direction. It breaks the lattice rotational symmetry from sixfold or threefold to twofold. It chooses a direction, okay? Now, let me show you our data. So again, this is in the same, posted in the same paper as before. We have one of our magic angle graphene samples. This is a pretty high TC sample, 3 Kelvin at 50% normal state resistance. This is a superconducting curve, you know. Then we can measure the superconducting dome as a function of doping. You know, this is a log scale. You can see it has one of these, you know, depletions. Okay, and now if you measure, for example, resistivity versus parallel magnetic field angle and magnitude of the parallel magnetic field, you see these twofold, you know, these two maxima. This means the system has a twofold symmetry now, rather than the original, you know, threefold or sixfold symmetry. This means you have an order parameter which is choosing a direction, you know, in polar coordinates, you know, in polar plot, this shows an ellipse. Let me show you the ellipse. Indeed, if you measure the resistivity as a function of magnetic field in the X and Y direction, you have an ellipse, okay? The system has a very different critical field along this direction and along this perpendicular direction, okay? And the nice thing again in magic angle graphene is that you can do this continuously as a function of density, Doppler, and you can take all kinds of plots, okay? As you take data points in each of these directions. You know, this is pretty complex, and I don't have enough time to describe it in detail to you. All I want you to take away from this is the fact that this ellipse, which here, for example, has this, let's say, something like 45 degrees up, you know, 60 degrees up, the major axis, by the time you go down here, it has a different orientation, okay? And the only thing that we have done here is change a little bit the charge density, the doping. So our nematicity direction, our pneumatic director seems to be changing with doping, okay? When you change this with doping, it means it's probably not related to a trivial strain, okay? This pneumaticity is not set by some strong strain that we have in our sample, but it probably has to do with electronic correlations because it's allowed to rotate as we change density, okay? Now, what about the normal state, okay? Well, this is again the phase diagram that I showed, you know, more or less before. You have this feature from high energy. You know, this is a correlated insulated state at nu equals minus two. You have this feature from high energy that impinges on the superconducting dome. This is a measurement of RxX. What happens if I make now a measurement of RxY? Okay. The resistivity, the transverse resistivity, usually this is something that you do in a magnetic field. It's known as a Hall measurement, but now we're going to do it at zero magnetic field, okay? So it's like a whole measurement, the whole resistance by that zero magnetic field, okay? So this is RxY in the same region. You can see that there is this region where you have a very strong transverse signal. If I put this line without any adjustments, I just plot it here, you see, you know, in this region where we have this line, you have a very strong signal. And I want you to pay attention to strong values, okay? Like this dark blue. Now, why would you have, you know, a transverse resistance at zero magnetic field? Okay, so let's take the following. Let's imagine that we have a material which has resistivity anisotropy, okay? In two dimensions, you know, it's not the same, the resistivity along, you know, the X direction along the Y direction. Now, if your device geometry, if your sample has its sample axis, the X and Y axis of the sample are aligned with the one and two with their anisotropy axis, then you actually, even in the presence of anisotropy, you expect to measure a zero transverse resistance. However, if your sample X and Y axis are tilted at some random angle with respect to your anisotropy axis, then you have to do a rotation of your resistivity tensor and you get these terms, and you can see that as long as you have some anisotropy in your system, you expect to see a transverse resistance, you know, if you have angles which are different from, you know, zero or from, you know, pi halves. So this, you know, from, you know, pi quarters and three pi over four. So this is something that in general in our devices, we do not control what's the shape of our Hall bar with respect to the anisotropy axis. We even didn't know that we had anisotropy until we did these measurements, okay? But now you can have, if you have anisotropy, you can have a finite transverse signal. So we have corrected our data for any possible artifact, including finite offset between raw XX electrodes, et cetera. And the more we correct for it, the more actually anisotropic the signal becomes, okay? You can even normalize also by the normal, you know, by the RxX values so that you get a sense of how strong, you know, in percentage is the anisotropy. And you can see that the anisotropy is of order 50%. It's a very, very strong anisotropy, okay? Which is present now, again, in a narrow density range where this feature was present, okay? So the feature that, and I should mention that normal state pneumaticity has also been seen in STM in recent work in scanning tandem microscopy data. So the picture that is emerging out of these measurements is the following. We have, you know, this phase diagram where you have in temperature and doping, you have a correlated insulator state, and then you have a superconducting dome. Now, the superconducting dome experiences a depression in TC at about 10% doping or so, This depression in TC coincides with a feature in resistivity, which is anisotropic. It has anisotropy, okay? So this is what I call normal state nematicity. Now, separately, in the superconducting state, everywhere in the dome, you have nematic superconductivity. Now, the fact that it is everywhere in the dome and not only in this region means that probably these two, the origin of the nematicity in the normal state and the superconducting state, might be different, okay? What we have noticed is that this nematic director in the superconducting state, you know, the axis of this nematicity ellipse, changes smoothly or gradually in this region of the superconducting dome, but the moment we get into the doping region, there is this strong nematicity in the normal state, the nematic director changes abruptly, okay? So it seems that we have nematicity everywhere in the superconducting dome, but the moment we reach this region where there is competition with this other order, which seems to be establishing independently a direction, your superconductivity gets sort of aligned with it, you know? It has a strong effect in the rotation of the nematicity axis, okay? And this is the picture that seems to be emerging now. Now, in the last, in the last 5 minutes, let me tell you about our recent measurements of compressibility. Okay? So this phase, you know, this is a different version, you know, of the phase diagram that I showed a moment ago, okay? Temperature versus filling factor now, you can see charge neutrality, 1, 2, 3, 4 electrons per mole unit cell, 1, 2, 3, 4 holes per mole unit cell. We have these band insulators. Now I'm showing that at each integer, we have either a correlated insulator or a correlated semi-metal state. Yeah? We have these four superconducting domes. By now, people have seen some other superconducting domes in between some other integers. You know, I'm not gonna talk about that. You have this strange metal region here, but in some other, you know, for some other correlated states, there is also strange metal behavior. Now, this is a pretty complex phase diagram. Let's try, you know, this is a phase diagram basically that has been extracted from transport measurement. Let me show you what happens when you start to do thermodynamic measurements, okay? So what I'm gonna tell you about happened, you know, was published recently in two back-to-back papers. You know, this is collaborative work in very close collaboration with our colleagues, Shah Halilani at the Weizmann Institute and theories there also. And there was a back-to-back paper by the group of Ali Jizdani where they, you know, do a completely different type of measurements, scanning tiny microscopy measurements, we reach very similar conclusions. And I was happy this was published. This is actually my birthday, you know, so it's a pretty good birthday present. So in this experiment, we measured, you know, inverse compressibility. So what is electronic compressibility? You know, the electronic compressibility, d and d mu, you know, is the rate of change of charge density as you change the chemical potential in the system. And in a single particle picture, this is proportional. This is essentially, this is pretty much the density of states, okay? So what phenomenology do you expect to measure when you do these, you know, thermodynamic measurements? If you have an energy gap, you know, you expect to have zero, you know, no density of states. So in inverse compressibility, which is what we measure, d mu dn is 1/0. So you expect a large peak, okay?
Pablo, just to interrupt for a second, you have another 10 minutes to go.
Yep,
you're pulling the times.
So if you have a Dirac-like dispersion, okay, you have a linear density of states versus energy, you know, versus density, you actually have a d mu dn, which goes as 1/√n. So you have a decay, a gradual decay of your inverse compressibility. If you have superconductivity, because superconductivity doesn't open, you know, a gap, you know, in the thermodynamic density of states, you to zeroth order, you expect no signal, okay? So now let me tell you, so with our colleagues at the Weizmann Institute, you know, we, you know, the group of Shah Halilani has developed a technique where he can make put an SET, a carbon nanotube single electron transistor, which is a very sensitive electron, you know, voltage meter at the end of a AFM tip. And you can scan on your sample and measure locally this inverse compressibility. We can do similar, you know, we can also do transport measurements. So for example, these are transport measurements versus parallel magnetic field. You can see the superconducting domes here. You can see the correlated insulators at two holes and two electrons per mole unit cell. you don't measure inverse compressibility, then you then you have this following black trace. You have these large peaks at the band insulators and a peak at charge neutrality. And then you have other features which I'm going to show you around, okay? And the nice thing is that we can scan different regions of our samples, you know, because different regions have slightly different twist angles. We can look at this as a function of twist angle, which controls the bandwidth and the role of interactions. So the plot I want to show you is this thing, the mu dn versus filling factor, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4 electrons or 4 holes per mole unit cell. And the nice thing is that you can see, apart from these large peaks at the band insulator and at charge neutrality, you can see these other peaks. There's this sort of sawtooth behavior, you know, close to each integer filling factor, okay? If you integrate the mu dn, you get the actual chemical potential as a function of filling factor. If you are a little bit away from magic angle, it shows this more graphene-like behavior, only with a little bit of features still reminiscent because you're not too far from magic angle. If you are closer to the magic angle, you see how this chemical potential sort of evolves with filling factor. It repeats itself, it repeats itself. There is this evolution, this cascade, you know, of phase transitions, as I'm going to mention, okay? So this data that I showed you before were in the presence of a parallel magnetic field, but even at zero parallel magnetic field, you have the same behavior. So you have this sawtooth behavior here, you know, with these peaks and these dips. So how do we interpret this feature? Okay, and by the way, this is something that occurs all, you know, already at very high temperatures. This is present, okay? So the way we understand these features is the following. When you're near charge neutrality, you have four flavors because of spin and valley physics in graphene. So graphene has, you know, these four flavors, you know, 4 degrees of freedom. So you have four copies of your Dirac cones. As you're filling your system, charging your system with density, these four flavors are being sort of equally filled. However, before filling one electron per mole unit cell, so before we have 1/4 of each of these flavors filled, there is a phase transition where the system spontaneously, due to Coulomb interaction, decides to polarize the entire system towards one flavor. And it empties the other three flavors. So the other three flavors go back to charge neutrality. So there is this phase transition followed by a, you know, cascade, you know, back to the charge neutrality point. And that's why in compressibility, you go back to, you have this peak, you know, because you have back to a low density of states. So you go back to peak, you know. You, it decays your compressibility, and then you go back to a peak. Then it decays again and go back to a peak. So between 1 and 2, a similar thing happens. You have these three flavors which are being filled simultaneously, but then phase transition, the system decides to now spontaneously polarize two of the flavors and then sends the system back to charge neutrality, and this thing repeats itself, okay? So in this, you know, this explains some of the puzzles, you know, that we had in the community, you know, which is, for example, why is the degeneracy of the Landau levels 4-fold from charge neutrality, but only 2-fold, you know, when you come out of the correlated insulated state? Well, it's because you only have two flavors left to fill, you know, and to polarize. It also explains the Fermi surface reconstruction that you have in our system, you know, in our original data, because if you measure in your whole density, there is this reset of your Fermi surface, and that reset is due to this going back to charge neutrality. So in this phase diagram, you know, that I showed you from transport, now thermodynamic measurements allow us to make, you know, this, all this transport, all this correlated insulated state superconductivity is happening in a parent flavor symmetry broken state, you know, where already at high temperature, your system spontaneously, because of Coulomb interactions, decides to flavor polarize. And then in that context of flavor polarization at low energies, your correlated states and your superconductivity is happening, okay? So all of this, you know, the physics that I've told you about is substantially sensitive to twist angle and to twist angle and chemical potential disorder. And, you know, with this, I want to go to my last slide. So this is work that has been done by my grad students, Joan Chow, Daniel Rodan, Jane Park, lots of collaborations with theorists and you know, and other people at various institutions. And the thermodynamic measurements have been done together with Shahali Lani at the Weizmann Institute. We have some other data with the results that I didn't have time to tell you about. And I want to thank you for your attention and take questions.
Okay, thanks, Pablo. Thanks a lot for sticking to the time. We have a few minutes for questions. If you want to ask your question verbally, just raise your hand and I'll come to you. We have a couple of questions in the Q&A, which may be nice for you to take at this time. Let me just read them out. The first one is from Ben Levitan. It's a question about the nematicity. So does the degree of nematicity change drastically when the superconducting order parameter lines up with the nematic axis?
That's a very good question. I guess let me go there. So do you mean if the ellipticity of the lips changes? Is that what you mean? Maybe you can let the speaker the.
Yes, I tried to talk.
Yeah,
I just.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you. Great. Yes.
I think it was one of these slides where you sort of showed how, as you move through the superconducting dome, the nematicity seemed to change.
Yeah, that's in this slide. Okay, the director changes. Is that what you mean?
Right.
Changes. Yes.
So does the sort of the aspect ratio of that ellipse change as well as you move into the region of the dome where this other nematic phase intersects it?
Mm-hmm. Very good. So we have the detail dependence, let me see, in this reference, okay? The state is actually quite complex because as you change the doping, you not only change, you know, the nematicity direction and so on, but you're also changing TC, okay? So you have to do these measurements at different temperatures and for different dopings at different temperatures to see the evolution of the nematicity, okay? So it's pretty complex, the evolution. The ellipticity does change a bit. Right now, off the top of my head, I don't remember if the ellipticity is drastically different in terms of, at optimal doping and at, you know, smaller doping. You also have to take into account that we have a finite range of magnetic field that we can apply in plane. So for example, at optimal doping, like in this plot here, below 2 Kelvin, we just can't resolve the nematicity because we have only a 1 Tesla in plane field and the system is superconducting always for that limited magnetic field range. So in perhaps the most interesting region you would want to compare, which is optimal doping with the competing order range, we cannot know at low temperatures what's the true ellipticity of the system, okay? So we have some limitations in that sense, but there is a little bit of variation of the ellipticity, yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think we're almost out of time, but maybe I can ask you a very quick question, Pablo, about disorder in these systems. So given that you're using an angle to get to the interesting regime of physics, we have this sort of very unusual situation where twist angle disorder, which we usually just simply don't consider or have simply not been something we've been worried about, that comes into play. Mm-hmm. So do you think, what parts of these experiments or the whole family of experiments that are being done on magic angle graphene, what aspects should we, be careful about which may change as samples get better and things like that?
So these competing orders and nematicity part of the story, we have measured it in several samples. All of those samples having to be very close to 107, 109 degrees, okay? So this behavior is most pronounced in a narrow angular range, even within the narrow general angular range for which magic angle physics happens, superconductivity happens. Is in a narrower angular range, we see this behavior, and we've seen it in every sample that it's at this angle, in this angular range, okay? There's no sample that's at 109 degrees, 108 degrees, and we have not seen this behavior. Mm. In that sense, it seems to be quite reproducible in this angular range, yeah? These competing order stories. The phase transitions, the cascade of phase transitions, that one, because we have local measurements with the scanning system, we can see that although the behavior is, go here. The behavior is very sensitive to the local twist angle. It's always present there. So we have the complete, you can see the complete evolution here, it's a function of angle. Okay, so these are local measurements. You can see that the behavior for 0.99 or 101 degrees, you have some wiggles there, but this behavior becomes much more pronounced for 105, 107, 113. And then by the time you go to 119 decreasing, at 131, you have absolute no feature. Okay, so you can see that tiny changes of the order of 0.02 degrees in the twist angle, and this is local measurements. This is, you know, so here you don't have disorder. These are local measurements, you know, with the scanning tip. Tiny changes in twist angle have substantial changes in the physics, which is not very surprising because already at the single particle level, you're tuning the bandwidth and your interactions, you know, relative to your interactions substantially with small angles, okay? So, but this physics over a narrower angular range than superconductivity, but still over an extended angular range, you can see the same type of physics. And we have measured this by now in several other devices, you know. And in fact, the more, the higher quality we make the devices, you know, our group with Shah Halilani has now higher quality data with large, huge, uniform twist angle domains, the better the physics, the more pronounced the physics is that we're describing here. Okay, so if anything, less disorder seems to make the physics more pronounced in the whole thing that I've told you about.
Okay, so maybe we should stop over here and thank Pablo for a very inspiring talk. Maybe I will applaud, and I'm sure the other people in the audience have similar sentiments.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, and thank you. And we'll be back at 1:45 with the next lecture.